Welcome to episode 2 of the Ready List podcast. This is Sue Merry. I'm an Alexander Technique teacher and a founder member of Educare Small School. This episode is about going a bit deeper into the Ready List and actually trying it out with a bit more understanding and a bit more guidance. So I'm hoping that I'm learning as I'm going along doing this podcast. So far I've learned to switch the alerts off on the phone. Actually, I've just remembered I haven't done that, so I'm just gonna pause the recording and do that. Yeah, I've done that now. So there you go, yes. I have learned to switch the alerts off on the phone so you don't get a buzz in the middle. And also I noticed in episode 1 when I played it back and listened to it, the numbers of times I say the word just do this, just like this, just do, I think, crikey, do I say just all the time? So I'm going to try and do this podcast with not saying just very often, ideally not at all, but we'll see. So I'm actually walking as I'm recording this today. The other two, I was standing, the other sitting still. And I'm back in the woods and it's a bit wet underfoot, so you might hear some squelching. And also I get a bit embarrassed when I bump into people, so I might stop talking when that happens. So it's a bit of a dull January afternoon, but we do actually have a smattering of blue sky, which in the UK can be quite a bonus. It's often just cloudy the whole time. So here we go, not talking about the weather, sorry, very British of me. We're supposed to be talking about the Ready List. So let's just go over the different points, the different stages of the Ready List. If you remember, last time I got you to have a little go just saying the words and seeing and observing yourself, just noticing, and you shouldn't really expect much to happen until we get a little deeper into it. So let's try that today, just going a bit deeper and seeing what happens. So the Ready List is stop, see, breathe, soft and tall. Let's look again at stop. Stop is important because if we don't do the stop part, it's actually very, very difficult to do the rest, because stop gives you a little gap. It just applies the brakes to your nervous system temporarily. It's only a short gap, but there's just a little space to jump in with the rest of the Ready List. So there's just a break any habitual patterns of stress that you might have, either in doing something physically or just in your response to life. Ow, just cracked my leg on a branch. So stop gives you that space, and that's why it's really important to drill it into yourself, to try to think stop. And when we start to apply the Ready List in a future podcast, it'll really make much more sense to you. But for now, try to focus on thinking stop before you think see. So the first thought then is stop, making that little space. And the next bit is see. Now, I didn't really very much explain what that means. Just to briefly mention our survival circuits. These are the circuits that fire in the brain that is our response to any sort of perceived or real threat. And that can be threat perceived from outside of yourself. It can also be self-created internal threat. And again, we'll look at this a bit more later. But just for now, It's interesting to understand that when we are feeling threatened, our eyes change. We tend to stare. And you might have found yourself doing this if you've been startled. You know, the whole rabbit in the headlights thing. If something has frightened you, or if you're really, really stressed, you might find that you're staring and not really seeing what's going on around you. So a way into changing the stress response is to change what's happening physiologically by addressing that. So with the eyes, what I'm asking you to do is to look out away from yourself. One of the things we do, especially in the modern world, and especially if you live in a city, is we tend to look at things quite close to us. So in cities, you can't often see very far anyway, but we all perhaps spend a lot of time, maybe you do this, reading or looking at screens, or just looking, you're in a car, you're in a bus, on the train, whatever. You haven't got a great vista in front of you. You get used to looking quite close to yourself. So what I'm asking you to do is see, is to open your vision a bit, working against any strong or even habitually low level stress response, threat response, same thing, and asking you to widen your vision and soften your eyes. So you look away from yourself, as far away as you can look, as far away as you can look and still see something. If like me, you probably can't see anything after a certain distance. And then to just really look at something as opposed to just, you know, just to really see something as opposed to just looking at it. So right now I'm walking in the woods and I can see a tree and I'm looking at a place on the tree where there's a small hole. And I'm really just allowing my eyes to soften as I look at that. I'm imagining now that my vision ripples outwards in concentric circles, rather like if you drop a stone in a pond. And I'm allowing my peripheral vision to expand, or it's probably more true to say I'm becoming more aware of my peripheral vision by imagining that rippling out effect. And I'm noticing that although I'm still looking at this hole in the tree, I can see quite a distance either side of myself, and above and underground below. And as I'm doing this, I'm also allowing my eyes to soften. So would you like to try this with me if you're not doing it already? So let's just start from the beginning. Think stop, then think see, and just do what I just did, and look at some object away from you. If you're in a room, it's fine. You can just look at the other side of the room. Main thing is that you're not looking down at a screen, that you're actually looking out and allowing your vision to widen and soften. And as you see that object, really recognize, what is this object? What does it look like? What color is it? What's the texture as far as I can see? And then just soften your eyes into it, whatever that means. It's just more of a thought, really. Let your eyes relax and start to become aware of what is around that object, whilst still keeping your eyes focused on the object. Not moving your eyes off it, but thinking of your eyes softening and noticing then what's around it, what's in your peripheral vision. And get interested in that and notice actually how much you can see around that object and the extent of your peripheral vision. You might surprise yourself by how much you're taking in when you look at something. What I mean is how much of the whole view you're taking in when you look at something. A lot more than you might normally notice. So that will be see. And then let's come to breathe. Breathing's an activity of the autonomic nervous system. That's the thing that runs automatically. The function of the nervous system that's automatic is perhaps a better way of putting it. Which means that you can breathe when you're asleep and you don't have to think about breathing all the time. So I'm walking along and I'm not having to think about moving my legs, but I am consciously choosing to move my legs. And if I was to fall asleep, my legs would stop moving. I'd just fall over, I suppose, but breathing would continue. And the interesting thing about breathing is that it can also, you can control it if you choose to. So other functions of the autonomic nervous system, which you might call the downstairs brain, you can't control them even if you want to, unless you're some sort of mystic yogi possibly. Like I can't just stop my heart from beating just by thinking about it. I can't change my blood pressure by focusing on doing that. So breathing, though, you can, which means that you can influence breathing, which means that I think it's really interesting. It means that you've got a sort of window into your autonomic nervous system. So that system that you can't normally influence, that creates where you create habits that affect how you function in daily life. And you have to sort of work around those. You can't work on them directly. Well, breathing is an interesting one because you can directly work on it. So you can actually start to make a bit of a difference with how your nervous system is balancing. Balancing the threat response with the sort of rest and digest response. It's like an accelerator and a brake, is the way I kind of think of it. And when you're really in that fearful state, you've got your foot on the accelerator quite heavily. And the other side of it is if you're so terrified you can't move, you've completely got your foot on the brake. What you're aiming to do is to have a nice balance between the two. And by balancing the breathing, you can achieve that. In fact, there's a little sidebar. If you allow yourself to take three deep breaths in the way that we're going to try breathing in a minute, which is in a very calm and controlled way, you do actually, even for a short time, balance those accelerator and brake functions. So it balances your nervous system and can make you feel calm, even if perhaps in certain circumstances it might not last for very long. So let's have a look then at breathing, the part of breathe part of the ready list. So what I'm going to ask you to do is to experiment with what it feels like when you breathe, first of all. So maybe you could put your hands on your ribs and breathe out. It's more effective usually to breathe out through your mouth. Just release your jaw if you've got it firmly held. Soften your tongue. Breathe out through your mouth. And then when you get to the bottom of the breath, see if you can wait until your body's ready to breathe in. And you'll know when that is because you'll find that the automatic system takes over and you will start to breathe in. So let that happen. Breathe out through your mouth slowly. Wait until you need to breathe in. Notice that's what that feels like. Is it difficult to do that? Is it easy? What's happening in your mind when that's happening? And then slowly let the air in through your nose. So breathing in through the nose. And then as you're breathing in through the nose, notice what happens with your ribs. Hoping you've still got your hands on your ribs. Can you feel the movement that happens there? You should feel the ribs expanding or moving at least in some way. and you get to the top of the breath. You've probably breathed in now about six times by now. Sorry. I do have to explain this like this, though. When you get to the top of your breath, when you've breathed in as much as you can, then just pause for a second and slowly let the air out. Slowly let the air out through your mouth by softening, releasing your jaw, letting your mouth drop open, like as if you're a bit stupid. Just let the mouth drop open in a relaxed fashion. So I'll just talk you through that one more time. Begin by breathing out through your mouth, because if you try to breathe in when your lungs have already got loads of air in them, you haven't completely exhaled, you can start to feel breathless. So breathe out through your mouth, and then when you're ready, when your body's ready, let the air come in through your nose. Keep the air coming in. Notice the feeling of your ribs moving. And then slowly, when you've got to the top of the breath, slowly exhale through the mouth. Don't blow the air out, puff it out. It shouldn't just be a gentle expelling of air. In through the nose, out through the mouth. Taking three breaths like that can really calm your system down. With the ready list, we just do one breath usually, but you know, doesn't really matter. There's no big rules about this. It's another step, along with softening your eyes, that works against the threat response. So let's try the first three steps together when you're ready. And of course, don't forget, you can always pause this and then, you know, have a little go and start it again. So anyway, and oh, excuse me sniffing, by the way. It's a bit cold out here. Have a big sniff there. And there's lots of splashing noises as I'm walking through the mud. But hey-ho. Right, let's try the ready list again. First of all, stop. C. Remember to look away from yourself. Really look at some object, really see it. Let your eyes relax. Notice your peripheral vision, the extent of that while you're just still looking at the object. And then breathe. Let the air out through your mouth in case you're holding your breath, which you might be because you're trying hard to do this. And then slowly let the air in through your nose. Shouldn't be any sniffing sounds. Just gently in through the nose. And when you get to the top of the breath, out through the mouth again. And just wait until your body's ready to breathe in again. Interestingly, that something that does happen with the breathing, and why this is another reason why breathe is part of the ready list. If you remember at the end of the last episode, I mentioned that with the ready list, you could also look at it as the three questions you're asking yourself. Am I seeing? Which is what we were just looking at. Are you looking at something, or actually are you actually seeing it by relaxing your eyes into it? Oh, somebody's coming along with a dog now, so I'm just going to pause the podcast because I feel like a bit of a twat. Hang on a sec. There we go. Nice man. Nice dog. What was I saying? Are you actually seeing something? Am I seeing? Or am I just looking at the thing with tension, frowny face or whatever? Or am I staring in terror? So it's breaking up that little pattern. And then with breathing, again, you're asking yourself, am I breathing? Now, you might have noticed that if you are concentrating on something, trying really hard to learn something new, say for example, like this even, you might be holding your breath. It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because we really need the brain to be quite oxygenated when we're learning something new, and holding the breath doesn't help that process one bit. So there's not only would you be holding your breath, you'll also probably have a lot of tension in your body, especially in your upper body, but also actually in other parts of the body, if you're holding your breath. It's like you're a kind of coiled spring. So when you focus on your breathing, it reminds you to stop holding your breath and to actually breathe. Then after breathe comes soft and tall. This is a bit more tricky because to really get the feeling of this, it's very helpful to have some hands-on work from a trained Alexander teacher. However, having said that, I do work a lot with horse riders, and I have noticed that obviously they do get a bit of hands-on work from me, but I can't do hands-on work with them all the time because they're riding a horse. And so it's a little bit tricky not having any rodeo skills. I'm usually on the ground or balancing precariously on a mountain block. So they have to be out there on their own for quite a bit. That's kind of interesting because at first I thought, well, this is never going to work. Having been sort of classically trained that you need your hands on your pupil most of the time in the lesson. What's going to happen if I can't do that? Well, kind of to my surprise, a lot, actually. So despair not if you can't get an actual lesson with a human. You can probably do quite a bit for yourself. So soft and tall. What's soft and what's tall? Soft and tall is to imagine your head floating up from the top of your head, from the crown of your head. So not your chin. If you're doing that right now, just notice if you're trying to push your head up by lifting your chin, because actually what you're doing is the opposite. You're pulling it back and down. You allow it to float up like one of those floaty balloons, we say with the kids. You know, one of those helium-filled balloons. You imagine that your head is that balloon, and the string is your spine, which is not going to follow the balloon up, but it is going to reach a certain tension. So it will, sorry about the sniffing, so it will lengthen. You imagine your floaty balloon head floating up, and your shoulders soften, and they just drop. With the kids, we say that they're made of runny custard. Actually, I did ask some children recently, what do they know what custard is? And some of them didn't. So maybe it's not the best analogy. Whatever you can think of as being melty and soft, like chocolate melting in the sun, maybe that'll do it for you. Well, we call it runny custard. So imagine your shoulders melting and flowing like runny custard, like your arms are the custard flowing down to the ground. And don't worry about where this places your body. You might feel like you're round-shouldered here. For now, don't worry about any of those things. Just have the experience of imagining that your shoulders melt downwards and that your head floats upwards. It's almost as if the whole of your upper torso just opens up and lets your head float up. So we'll probably come back to soft and tall, but that's an intro to soft and tall. The most important thing about it is do not try to put yourself in any sort of position. Don't force anything, don't push anything. Just allow things to release. You find that your body will automatically become soft and tall if you are not stopping it from doing that by pulling it downwards, scrunching it up, as we say. So just allow it to release. And that might not be so easy at first, but keep it as a thought. I know from experience that even if you don't feel much is happening, the thought itself does actually have an effect. Okay, so ready to go through the whole thing? Here we go. Then we're going to stop. Well, actually, we're going to start with stop. And then we're going to stop with stop. Here we go. First of all, you think stop. See. Look at something away from you. Relax your eyes. Allow your peripheral vision to be there. Breathe. Air out through your mouth first. And wait until your body's ready to breathe in. Let the air in through your nose. Notice your ribs expanding. Keep thinking up as you breathe then out, slowly through your mouth. And as you're breathing out, just imagine your shoulders dropping and your head floating up like a floaty balloon. Now, I'd just like you to do this and notice how it feels. Again, without judgment. So judgment is the forbidden. Just noticing. Noticing, what does it feel like? What's happening? What's going on in my head? And also, is there some dialogue going on about, am I doing this right? Is this what it's supposed to be? I'll never get this. Oh, I'm really good at this. I can do it straight away. Whatever, you know, there's probably something going on like that. Try just to, I'm going to keep saying just again, sorry. Try to focus on what's actually happening in your body, what it feels like, without making any judgments about it and without deciding it's right, it's wrong, whatever. So I would suggest you practice this on your own before you listen to the next podcast. And then when we, in the next podcast, we're going to look at what do we do with this now? What was the point of this? Okay, maybe it's balancing my nervous system and I'm perhaps feeling calmer for doing it. Maybe not. But what's the use of it in activity? And that's where we're going to start to look at applying it to your daily life, which is a fun adventure. So I'm going to stop talking now. My name's Sue Merry. Thank you for listening. This is the Ready List podcast, and I will hope to see you in the next episode. So, bye for now.